sessions 14 and 15 are going to be a bit of a shift from sessions 12 and 13 in that we're moving into parts 3 and 4 of Spiritual Connection, which is about fulfilling God's will. They're exciting sessions. It's an exciting part of the module, and I hope you'll find them to be interesting. Okay. Before we move ahead, though, I wanted to briefly review Spiritual Connection Part 2, which we spoke about last time we met. We've been speaking about recognizing order and design in the world. Prior to that, we spoke about recognizing our limited scope of control. And just so we're clear, recognizing our limited scope of control, that's a foundation for spiritual connection, but to develop intimacy and closeness with God, which is the purpose of spiritual connection, we need to recognize order and design in the world. We talked about recognizing order and design in nature and also in life events. And the goal is to bring us the feelings of gratitude towards God. If we recognize that God intentionally provides for our needs through nature and through life events, then we can have this sense of being loved by God, and feeling gratitude in return and love for God is a great goal of spiritual connection, and a wonderful emotional experience occurs when we feel that way. When we perceive order and design, then we generate gratitude, and that creates love, basically. We talked about these two areas again. We talked about nature and life events. Regarding nature, recognizing order and design is more simple than enjoying beauty in nature and enjoying aspects of nature. In terms of spiritual connection, it involves appreciating that not only is there beauty in nature, but recognizing that that comes from God. It's great to stop and smell the roses we spoke about, but spiritual connection involves appreciating where that wonderful scent comes from and being brought into a spiritual connection through the scent, through the experience. In life events, it's a little bit harder because recognizing order and design involves perceiving God's involvement not just in nature, but in our day-to-day experiences. It's harder to see God's role when human action is involved, relative to when there's inanimate objects or at least non-human objects, non-human beings. When it comes to humans and our involvement and our actions, perceiving God's hand seems incongruent with the efforts that we expend. We're going to speak about that today, actually. And also, sometimes life events don't work out the way that we want them to. There are sometimes benefits accruing to people who don't seem to be deserving, or innocent people are sometimes harmed by accidents or disease or the like. And it's very hard, sometimes extremely hard, to see order and design in life events when that occurs. But according to the connections paradigm, well, firstly, human beings can't fully understand why good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people, as we spoke about last time, because it's beyond human comprehension. But nevertheless, we spoke about different explanations, different possible explanations, which I won't go over today, about why things might occur, even though it seems unjust. And nevertheless, we have the challenge and the opportunity to be connected to God by seeing God's role in life events. The bottom line is that spiritual connection is a skill set. We can practice attending to order and design in the world and developing gratitude for God and having a relationship with God through recognizing order and design. And that's what we spoke about last time. So, again, today, moving forward, we're going to be speaking about the next aspect of spiritual connection, which is fulfilling God's will. In fact, parts 3 and 4, this session and the last session, the main sessions anyway, session 15, both speak about fulfilling God's will. So a couple of introductory points before we get into the nitty-gritty of today's session. First, parts 1 and 2 of spiritual connection, which is experiencing God's presence in our lives, through recognizing the limits of our control and seeing order and design in nature in the world. Those are a stepping stone for parts 3 and 4, which are about fulfilling God's will. We discussed it briefly last session, which was that gratitude is this powerful tool, and it can create connection because we can feel loved and we can feel cared for by the one who we're grateful to. But as soon as we feel grateful, there's another emotion that settles in, and it can be uncomfortable if we're not ready for it, because it's called indebtedness. When we truly recognize that somebody did a favor for us, it's natural and healthy for us to feel indebted to that person and to want to pay them back. And it can be a little scary, like, how am I going to pay back this debt? But the truth is that indebtedness can be an anchor to keep us connected to other people and to have a relationship with them, even though it's challenging. So it's potentially very good, because it can create more connection. When we feel grateful and indebted, we can harness those feelings and take the relationship to the next step by doing something more for that person. But some people back out. They get scared when they feel grateful to God, and instead of using that to lift themselves forward and, so to speak, give back to God, they take a step out of the world of connection and start to deny their gifts altogether by explaining them away. So needless to say, that's not ideal from a connection standpoint, and we have to be aware of the natural tendency. We have to be aware of our natural tendency to
back out of relationships when we feel indebted, and instead to be grateful recipients of whatever gifts we receive and rededicate ourselves to connection. That's the goal. So that's one preliminary point. Another point is that the goal of these sessions 14 and 15, is to work on giving to God, so to speak. Now, at all levels, intrapersonal, interconnection, that is, interpersonal connection, spiritual connection always has giving and receiving. Building relationships always involves a transfer, some sort of transfer or flow between two entities. Parts 1 and 2 of spiritual connection, we focused on the receiving side. We're focusing on experiencing God's presence in our lives and recognizing our limited scope of control, recognizing order and design in the world, that we are here to receive, consciously and unconsciously, being recipients of God's blessings in different ways and giving up control to receive guidance from God. By contrast, parts 3 and 4 focus on the giving side of the equation, of the relationship. We discussed in session 11 that fulfilling God's will divides into two parts. There's developing a godly vision, and then there's exerting heroic efforts for God. Both of these are about how to give to God, so to speak. And I want to clarify, though, in the third point, that there is a fundamental question about what we just raised. We talked since the beginning of the spiritual connections module that, according to the connections paradigm, God is infinite and ultimately in control. So that being the case, like, what does God need us for? What can a mortal give to a spiritual being? So according to the connections paradigm, the truth is that God doesn't need us. There's nothing that we can truly, truly give. But God set up the world in a way, rigged the universe, if you will, that every human being has a unique and a specific job to do, and if we don't do it, then it will have an impact. There is a real set of tasks that God depends on, so to speak, for us, and if we don't come through, the world will not function the way it should. The reason for this is that God knows it's embarrassing for people to receive gifts without doing anything in return, so the world is set up in a way that we have to provide. But that is woven into the fabric of the universe, according to the connections paradigm, that every human being has a job to do, and if you don't do it, then it's going to be bad. It's going to be a problem, not just for us, but actually there are spiritual concerns and spiritual issues that can occur when people don't do their job. or if people do things that are not their job, frankly. But when we do what we're here to do, and yes, we'll speak about determining what to do, how our job can be understood, that actually is going to be spoken about today, then we take our relationship with God to a whole new level. We can firstly, we can earn a divine reward, and I don't just mean receive a divine reward. I mean earn it, because instead of just receiving charity, we actually have a job to do, and we need to get it done. And when you're doing a job, that's salary, not charity. And second, even more important, we become partners with God in creating, in running the world, not creating, of course. To clarify, according to the connections paradigm, each person has a specific integral role to do in this world. And if we rise to that challenge, we literally join together with God in perfecting ourselves and the universe. And that is a level of spiritual connection that all of us can have. Now let's talk about spiritual connection, part three, developing a godly vision. All of those were introductory comments. We just spoke about this, that the first step in fulfilling God's will is to have a godly vision. There are really two subparts to this, and it's fairly simple, as you'll see. There's developing a godly vision of ourselves, and then there's developing a godly vision for ourselves. I'll explain what both of these are. Developing a godly vision of ourselves. What's this vision? How do we develop it? Well, it means several things. First, spiritual connection, in terms of developing a godly vision of ourselves, involves recognizing our human capacity is amazing. We have an incredible capacity for greatness. Ordinary human beings, people just walking around on the street, have incredible godly potential to do the most marvelous things. I have to send you some videos. David Greenberg, I'm going to send you some videos. I want you to send them out to the group about just incredible things that ordinary people do. More fundamentally, though, developing a godly vision of ourselves involves recognizing that we have a unique job to do and an important job to do that only we can do. All of us have specific human characteristics, cognitive characteristics, behavioral characteristics. We have things that are generic. And in some cases, they can even be compared to each other. But each person beyond that has a unique constellation. We have a unique profile across different levels of cognitive, behavioral, emotional, physical, spiritual functioning. And that constellation, that unique profile that we have across those different dimensions has never occurred in all of history, and it never, ever will occur ever in the future of history. Rabbi Kellerman's rabbi, Rav Shlomo Volga, used to say, apparently, that each human being is 1,000 times more unique than their fingerprint. We are completely and utterly unique. Will never, ever, ever occur ever in the future and never have occurred in the past. And having a godly division of ourselves means recognizing that each and every person, and yes, this includes you, whoever is listening to this tape, possesses something that no other person in all of history has possessed or ever will possess. No one, also, a related point, is that no one is superfluous. No one is ancillary. No one is just an addition. Neither you or anyone else is a fluke. Nobody is an accident. I was speaking with a friend about this the other day. They gave me a beautiful, beautiful analogy. They said, if you had a $10 million puzzle at the Museum of Modern Art, and it was made up of 1,000 different pieces, and they were all intricately linked to each other, all these pieces, and it was on a wall. And one of the pieces fell down and got lost. How much is the puzzle worth? Now it has a big hole in it. The answer is nothing. Somebody else quipped, well, it's the Museum of Modern Art. Maybe it would be worth something, but okay, very funny. But bottom line is it's not going to be worth the same. Because each piece of the puzzle is necessary for the whole. The Western education system, I must comment here, is completely backwards. We have standardized testing. We have standardized coursework. And in this day and age, we have no choice. Like, we have to participate in it. But they've replaced, even though they've replaced the efforts to identify and bring out unique combinations and characteristics that each student has. In doing so, we've robbed human beings of envisioning that we are unique and have a very specific job to do that nobody else could accomplish. There's another point, though, which is that developing a godly vision of ourselves involves it believing that we can achieve greatness. It really is within our reach. Seemingly, if God runs the world, then God wants each of us to succeed. We have a unique divine mission, and doing so is the pinnacle of the connections paradigm, frankly. We inherently have the capacity for success. Each person has been blessed with everything they need, according to the paradigm, everything they need to fulfill the deep spiritual purpose that we were brought into the world to achieve. Every human being is sitting on a gold mine. We each have this unfathomable godly potential right inside of ourselves, and all we need to do is just do our job. Just start digging and refining it, and we'll end up with gold. And that doesn't mean everybody's going to be famous. That doesn't mean everybody's going to be wealthy. But it does mean that we can achieve our job in the world. Not a generic job, but something that's unique for us, that will be fulfilling for us, that will be happy, make us happy, that will create meaning and purpose in our lives. Something that is way beyond what money or fame could ever give us. And if we start taking the necessary steps and we march down our unique path, you have a guarantee that you're going to be successful in whatever it is that you need to do. And it doesn't matter what you have materially and what you don't have materially in terms of time, in terms of resources. Everybody has what they need. If you don't have the time or the resources to do something, there's one or two options. Either you need to get the time and the resources, or it's not your job. Maybe you're looking in the wrong place. When people look in the wrong place for their job, then, well, they're not going to be successful, and they're going to have a life of frustration and anxiety and pain and depression and other things. But focusing on what we can do, what we really need to do, digging deep, accepting it, and moving forward, that is the path. Having a godly vision of ourselves means that we recognize that we are inherently important to God. We are not too insignificant for God's attention, even if we might be too insignificant for other people's attention. On the contrary, according to the connections paradigm, we are the pinnacle of creation. Human beings are the purpose, and everything exists just to facilitate and foster our connection at all levels, and particularly the spiritual connection with God. If we've developed a godly vision of ourselves, then we recognize our unique gifts that we can use to fulfill God's will, and we can start to develop a godly vision for ourselves. So let's talk about that. What does developing a godly vision for ourselves involve? How do we go about that? So having a godly vision for ourselves involves determining how we can use our gifts specifically to, quote unquote, give to God. The process is easier described than a lot of people think. You don't need to be a prophet. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure out your own divine purpose in life. There are basically two parts to it. There are generic visions, and then there are individual visions. The generic visions are pretty standard. There are certain things that all human beings, or almost all human beings, need to do. Human bodies have certain generic needs. We have physical needs, such as eating healthily, engaging in regular physical exercise, having adequate sleep, having regular social contact with other people. We spoke about these back in, interconnection. We have spiritual needs, such as prayer, connecting to God, spirituality. We spoke about these also back in interconnection, the world of interconnection. Engaging in these behaviors to fulfill these basic needs, that fosters body-soul connection, but there's something else. It actually facilitates spiritual connection, as long as we're doing it out of recognition that it's not just for us, it's for God. If we do any of these activities, including just eating healthily, or just going out and exercising, or getting enough sleep, going to sleep on time, can create spiritual connection. all of these can create spiritual connection as long as we have in mind that we're doing them because we want to do the will of God. If we're doing these to out of a recognition that God wants them to be done, excuse me, that creates spiritual connection. Same thing for other mundane activities like taking out the garbage or tidying our work desk or doing coursework if we're in school or paying our bills or taking a shower, like I mentioned before, going to sleep. As long as it's a reasonable thing that a human being that you need to do, and we have a sense that God wants us to do it, having in mind this is for God, even if it's also, I need to do this, and it's also for me, it's also for my body, but I'm having in mind God wants me to take care of my body, that creates spiritual connection that is part of having a godly vision for ourselves. As long as we have, just to clarify, as long as we have a reasonable premonition that God might like these activities to be done, exerting in an effort for the sake of God builds connection. But there's a big catch. If we're doing a seemingly secular activity and we don't have in mind that God is involved, that God wants this to happen, then it doesn't build spiritual connection. Now, it doesn't have to be at every minute of the, every microsecond that we're thinking God wants me to go to sleep. You're never going to get to sleep that way. So be healthy about it. Be balanced about it. Quote, unquote, be normal about it. As Rabbi Kellerman always says, be normal. The point is at least at some point to think, okay, God wants me to go to bed. Another point is that there's a lot of minutiae in detail. It's harder than one would think to know how much sleep we want, how much we need to eat, how much we need to exercise, how much we should be spending time with others. Also prayer, feeling close to God, studying, all of it's difficult just to balance life. And if we're really thinking about what God wants, it's a lot easier to balance those details. So the following rule of thumb is a recommendation. When dealing with generic visions, and again, this is for everybody, really, it's advisable to consult with an objective third party. Because if you're thinking about this in terms of an outsider, it's a lot easier to remain objective and think about what a person really needs versus what you think you need. So when it comes to diet, I often recommend people talk to a nutritionist. When it comes to social life, you can ask somebody else, you can ask a friend. When it comes to sleep, you can look it up online. There's a lot of guides for that. Or you could definitely speak to a therapist. Sometimes that's very helpful. For spiritual aspects like prayer, study, speak to a rabbi about it. Speak to a spiritual authority about it, and get a sense of what it is that you should be doing. But having godly visions for ourselves is not only generic; it's also very highly individual. And in contrast with generic visions, individual visions involve identifying unique ways that only we can serve God, can fulfill God's will. There are unique things that I can do that nobody else can do, and there are unique things that other people could do that I could never possibly do. We talked about this earlier today, that each human being is a once-in-world history occurrence. So it stands to reason that each person has a unique once-in-world history job. And there are certain things that you and only you can accomplish. No one ever has been assigned that job. Nobody ever will be assigned the job. They are unique to your specific cognitive, behavioral, emotional, physical, spiritual, and other profile. Fulfilling God's will from a generic vision is very good, and it certainly builds spiritual connection. But if we remain in the realm of doing generic service, doing what everybody else is doing our entire lives, we're wasting our spiritual and physical potential. Put differently, when it comes to developing a godly vision for ourselves, a lot of people are too scared to pursue their own path. And what they end up doing, I alluded to this before, is they copy others. They copy other people. But you have to recognize that your spiritual path is for you and for nobody else. We talked about this before again, that God set up the world in a way each person has a specific role. And if we don't take the charge and fulfill our unique, not just generic, but our unique potential, the world will become incomplete. God is depending on us to do our specific jobs. But another thing here is that we can be stars in our own rights if we do our own unique jobs. It takes a lot of patience. It takes perseverance. It takes faith, courage, and incredible effort, and we'll talk about the effort next session. But if you pursue your path with the resources that you have, you can be guaranteed that you'll be successful, but not if you're following somebody else's path. If you're copying somebody else because you're scared of looking at yourself and accepting who you are, then you'll never be successful. You'll be constantly butting up against barriers. God wants each of us to be successful, and there are miracles along the way waiting for us to pursue our path. But if we copy others, by definition, we're not following our own path, and we're going to end up perpetually frustrated. To make this clear, how do we develop an individual vision of ourselves? Well, one thing is to have big dreams. Dream big. Here are some questions to consider. If you could wave a magic wand and accomplish three things in the world, just you, what would they be? Let's say there were no constraints. What would you be doing in your life right now? What can you envision doing and being extremely successful? What are some of the ways that you can utilize your unique talents, strengths, abilities, and interests to make the world a better place? What career or project or anything could you do that would give you so much pleasure that you wouldn't believe that somebody else would pay you to do it? I'm not asking what would make somebody else happy. What would somebody else want to do? What is somebody else doing that's making the world a better place or making them successful? What about you? That's the question. And in answering the questions, there's only one condition. Just consider whether the dreams are something that God would want us to accomplish. Often people get caught up and they think, oh, it's not practical, oh, it'll never happen, and they stop thinking about it and they stop dreaming. From a connection standpoint, huge mistake. Huge mistake. Don't worry, for a moment at least, about the constraints. Worry about whether it's something that you really and truly, utterly want to do. Developing an individual vision for ourselves involves breaking free of limits, breaking free of restrictions, and picturing ourselves fulfilling our unique potential during our lifetimes, a potential that we believe God would want and share with the world. Don't sell yourself short, please. Even if it seems impossible, envision what you would like to accomplish. I have another video to send you as well. So David, I'm going to send you that also. Another point here is, though, it can be very important to have a mentor or a coach to develop individual visions. Having an outsider can help to provide direction, encouragement, and keep us on track when things seem really hard. But unlike generic visions, having mentorship here, it's not enough. We have to go beyond mentorship and really dig deep and figure out ourselves what we need to do. Okay, so to summarize today's session, there are two types of godly visions. There are generic visions and there are individual visions. The generic visions are accomplished by consulting with an objective third party about basic physical and spiritual needs and then engaging in those. The individual visions are accomplished by dreaming big. And yes, you can consult with other people, but ultimately we have to bear the responsibility for the decisions we make. Okay, to wrap up our session, we have a new exercise today, which is called Dream Big. Once a day, spend 60 seconds dreaming about one specific and unique, not a generic one, but a specific and unique divine purpose that you might have in life. While you contemplate your dream, consider only whether the vision is consistent with what you think God wants in the world, not whether it's practical, not whether it's doable, not whether you have the capacity. Think about only whether God would want this to happen, according to your limited understanding. And that's our session. So on your chart, you have charting. We have exercise 14, dream big. Exercise 13, tasting the blessing. Exercise 12, recognizing our limited scope of control. Continue doing the other exercises as much as you can. And next week, believe it or not, we're going to be wrapping up with session 15. After that, we do have a session 16, but that's going to be a summary of the entire program.